Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Campbell would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall and www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy schmoly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every week that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Campbell.
All right. Except for last week, right? Last show. That was so cool.
Oh, yes. It was so nice to have our guest making
Proud
the meal.
Proud daddy, man. Woohoo.
Yeah. How cool was that?
And then, so if you haven't, check it out. Check out show 439. Because if you don't know yet, Skylar, I'm putting 4 cups of water in a saucepan also while we're talking here. Just in case you hear the water running, like, what the heck's he doing? He's not telling us what he's doing. We're going to make something with this water. What could it be? The mind is just racing with possibilities. So Skylar made, Skylar, my daughter, came on the show and did a corn chowder with poblano pepper.
Oh,
man, it was very good.
Yeah. And very easy.
Very easy. It didn't have it. It was, my nose was running by the time we got done eating it, but it wasn't spice hot, burn hot on your tongue or anything like that in your mouth. Very, very good stuff. All right. We got that water going. That's for the other side of the show here. But, that was awesome. Corn chowder with poblano peppers. So the place she got the recipe from was from a place where they pick up food. This restaurant makes organic foods, prepares meals.
Oh, okay.
And they prepare, they prepare so many, and people stop by and buy them and then take them home and heat them up. And if you like something you get, then they have the recipe there too, so you can make it. So that's what she did.
It's so amazing to think of Skylar not only being a guest cooking, but, married and teaching. And
I know.
Oh, my gosh. It's just amazing.
And then you're like, what happened, man? that's when you realize, damn, I'm old.
I know. Time is just moving along.
Time is moving on, man. Moving on. It is. It is not slowing down a bit. Speaking of that, I was just going to mention that. It's July already. It's almost gone.
I know.
August.
Yes. Yeah.
Candace goes back. She has a couple meetings next week, and then the week after that, they're back at school.
Oh, my gosh. I always forget. School starts early in Texas.
It used to not. But they had a law where that school couldn't start. It had to start within a week of Labor Day.
Okay.
Labor Day, the one at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But that got repealed, so now they start school a little bit earlier. And they're trying to this year just because of last year they got such a late start.
Right.
Plus, they got a year and a half of craziness to it's going to be something else. But it is what it is, man. So what I was leading up to is there's only so many shopping days left.
Oh, my gosh. You aren't talking about the big holiday at the end of the year, are you?
I am. And I tell you, just a heads up. I'm just saying, just heads up. If you're looking at getting something, you might want to get it sooner than later, no matter where it's from us or anybody, because prices are still going up on stuff.
Yeah.
Cost of labor, cost of parts, lack of parts, shortage of this, supply and demand. I mean, it's crazy. Some of the cost of that's jumped on some of the products. And just like Cadillac, all of a sudden, they can't get boards for their caddies, circuit board, motherboard.
I heard that. And I think GM also, they're going to stop production of some other types of cars.
Yes.
Is there missing, as you said, the chip or the circuit or something?
That's right. I understand that. I mean, every days I come in, I'm missing a cup of coffee. I'm like, ooh, I can't get going. What are we going to do, man? What are we going to do? We're going to kick around. One thing during this whole time we were off, during the lockdowns and all that stuff, it became kind of like, man, cooking dinner became kind of a chore sometimes, you know?
Yes.
And we started taking some shortcuts, and I just basically want to pass on these shortcuts to y'all, to where, you know, if you're one person or two people, sometimes these can kind of help get a meal on the table in a hurry if you need to, with a lot of less stress. Because, you know me, it takes longer to eat it than it does to cook it. It better be real good. Man, luckily, a lot of stuff we make is real good, huh?
It is. It is, cool. Yes.
Yeah. So the other night, there was a guy wandering home down the road from the bar. And he's kind of staggering along. He's drunk. And, you know, cop, flags him, pulls, you know, this guy's stumbling along. Cop pulls up, gets out. Buddy, where are you going? You all right? He goes, I'm going to a lecture. And the cop's like, a lecture? Who's giving a lecture at this time of night? And he goes, my wife. Oh, heck, y'all. All right, we'll be right back on Cooking in the Dark. Don't go anywhere.
Want Cooking in the Dark downloaded to your podcatcher? Here's our address, http://www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com/RSS. That's Cooking in the Dark, no spaces, all squished together, .libsyn, LIBSYN.com/RSS. And Cooking in the Dark will be delivered directly to your computer. Dale Campbell here with Cooking in the Dark, and let me ask you a question. When you take something out of the oven and you hear a sizzling sound, do you realize it's you sizzling and not the food? When you're grilling, do you find that your finger's getting cooked, not the meat? If so, you need to get some Grips oven mitts, the same ones that I use when I do Cooking in the Dark. These great mitts will not only protect you to temperatures up to 500 degrees, but they also protect you against steam burns and also burns from hot liquids. They clean up real easy. Just wash them off under the faucet or toss them in the dishwasher. The main reason I love them, though, being blind, I can actually identify what I'm touching right through the mitts without getting burnt. Now try that with a great big old cotton mitt. Also, unlike a cotton mitt, these babies are non-flammable, so you won't touch something accidentally and catch on fire. You know where to get them. Visit blindmysmart.com online and order your set of Grips right now. Or, if you can't get online, give them a call.
866-922-8877.
And start taking the sizzle out of yourself and putting it back in the food where it belongs.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, Cheryl. Hey, I put a couple pots of water on the boil. Because one thing we're going to talk about, we're going to boil up some pasta. We're going to cook some pasta up. We're also going to cook some rice. Pretty good amounts of both of them, but while the water's heating up for these, we're going to talk about a new product the mice gave me to talk about on the show. And I've been using this at my own house and just love it. It is a wedge slicer. What it looks like is just a cylinder. It's kind of round in shape, if you will, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands about 6 inches tall. It has a plunger that goes down inside, that pushes down inside the cylinder. Poop, so you pull the plunger all the way out. And it does have a guide on the front and back of it, a slot that you line up to put back in. Now, inside it, you don't want to reach your hand inside from the top. If you want to see what's inside, go in from the bottom. But it has six blades. that are stretching across the inside, and they're kind of, they're slanted down. So each blade coming out from each side is slanted down to the middle.
Okay.
So when you put your potato in, it actually helps center the potato in the cylinder. Because the cylinder itself is about 2.5 inches wide, you know, in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty big one. But so what this will do is you just line the potato up. I've pushed the potato down inside, and I've just kind of let it center itself. And then I stand it up to where the other end of the potato that's sticking up is in the, as close to the middle, the center of the diameter, you know, of the cylinder as I can get it. I push it down just a little bit to get it started. Then I come back with the plunger, line it up. Now, it's got two finger holds, I guess you want to call it, handles on the base of the cylinder. So I put my fingers there and my thumbs on top of the plunger. And I've kind of just lifted it up here off the top of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just pushed it through, and there we go. Now we've got wedged potatoes.
Ooh, very nice. Okay.
Quick and easy, you know, and you don't have to go through all the hassle and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? While we got them, I may as well make you a snack here, Cheryl. Put the air timer on 20 minutes, about 390.
Oh, man.
We're going to give these little taters a spritz.
Are you going to make me, like, sort of French fries in the air fryer?
Potato wedges, yeah.
I'm all for it. Sign me up.
I'm just spritzing them with a little bit of vegetable spray, olive oil vegetable spray. And we'll put a little sea salt on them. What I'm going to do there is just put a little sea salt in the palm of my hand, maybe about a teaspoon or so. Then I'm just going to pinch it out, Cheryl, and just kind of sprinkle it on top of the fries.
Okay.
Just so they get a little bit, not a whole lot. What I've started doing, y'all, I think I might have mentioned this before, but I don't do much. I mean, I seasoned a little bit, but now I'm more into letting people season it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want it a little more salty, more salty. All right. So we'll drop those in. Those will just be over here on the side cooking for you. Computer, set timer 8 minutes. So about every 8 minutes, we want to shake those around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's get over here and check out our pasta. I'm going to add 3 cups of pasta to our boiling water, Cheryl.
Okay. Any particular type of pasta, or it doesn't matter?
I'm using, what is it called, rigatoni, I think, the spiral slice, the spirals.
Yes, yes.
Because my plan is, I want to show everybody how you can just take a base of pasta . Okay, there's 3 cups, and really play with it and come out with some unique dishes that are pasta-based, but aren't just pasta.
Fried,
just some old pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the rice. When you cook rice on the stovetop, I found I'd use 4 cups of water in my pan. Then I usually use about 1.5 cups of water.
Say that again? So you already have, I mean,
I'm sorry, 1.5 cups of rice, excuse
okay.
me.
Okay.
More water.
It's like, what?
It's a lot of water, buddy.
Okay. And this is just regular white rice, right?
Yeah, this is just regular white jasmine rice.
Okay.
Okay.
And do we wash the rice or don't wash the rice?
No, we don't wash it.
Okay.
My 1/2 cup measuring cup. So we've got four cups of boiling water. To this, we're going to add the rice. 1, 2, 3. Okay. And in the course of this, the rice is kind of a process. Right now, while it's cooking on its own, we're going to let it just boil covered. And once I hear it start roaring with a roaring bubble, we're going to turn the heat down from high to medium high. And then the fun starts.
What are you doing?
All right, so we've got potato fries, wedge fries, home fries, steak fries, whatever you want to call them, cooking in the air fryer. Mm-hmm. Those are great to cook up also ahead of time. And then after you've eaten some for dinner, refrigerate what you have left, and then the next day when you go, put them back in the air fryer and toast them up. They'll warm up really nice. Or you can put them in the oven under a broil or just in a warm oven to heat back up and toast back up, or microwave them. I don't really like a microwave, though, myself, after they've been cooked, because they get a little soggy, you know?
Oh, the potatoes? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just the only cure to that is, like, eat them all the first
eat
time.
Eat them all. I like the way you think. Very cool. All right, well, hey, let's take a break real quick, and we'll be right back on the other side with more Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark shows are archived at www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. That's www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com. Go there now and have a listen to an old show.
Hey, y'all, this is Dale Campbell, and I just want to let you know that all the cool gadgets I use on Cooking in the Dark, well, almost all of them, you can get at Blind Mice Mart. Check them out, blindmicemart.com. Go to the cooking and baking department and look at all the cool gadgets that will make your cooking woes go away and your meals easier and more delicious.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
All right, y'all. We just shook up the steak fries. They're frying. They're coming along real good, real good. And our pasta is about done. We wanted to cook the pasta about 8 minutes, boil it actually, not cook it, boil it, so that it came out a little al dente. Because one of the things we're going to be doing with this down the road is, I'll show you, we're going to be playing with it. Adding some of this, adding some of that. It all goes together and makes it really nice. Get my little strainer here.
I remember when I first moved into my own apartment, overly concerned I was about making pasta. And, you know, and all the crazy things like, oh, throw a strand up against the wall, and I forgot. and oh my gosh. And having the strainer and, you know, how all of that, like, doesn't happen anymore, right? Because years ago we bought that pot. That's the straining the lid itself.
Right.
Just put,
right.
Oh my gosh, how much that has made having pasta so much easier.
It has. It is so anything.
Yeah.
Boiling eggs in it, you know, the locking lid pots.
I thought it was like it's been an amazing tool to have in the kitchen.
Yeah, it has been. So, hey, here's what I did, Cheryl. I just put the pasta, I dumped it into our strainer.
Right.
I'm just running cool water over it to cool it off so it'll quit cooking.
Right.
And we're just going to set this off to the side and let it drain. Okay. Now, here's one thing I'm going to do, just because, you know me, I'm kind of a cheese person.
Let me find it here.
Now, here's what I'm doing with our pasta real fast, and we're going to turn our attention to the rice.
Okay.
I've got some grated Parmesan cheese. I'm going to sprinkle 2 tablespoons of it over the top of the pasta.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just kind of flip it and flop it a little bit so that Parmesan gets on all of our cheese. And there we go. We're going to let that go.
The rice timer is done.
And I've got to say, I mean, one of the fun things about cooking rice is that it's basically the same, right? Except for brown rice, you need to add a little more liquid and cook a little longer. But there's so many different types of rice.
Oh, there's so many. Yes, there sure is. Now, let's turn our attention to our rice that I hear crying now. Okay, it's cooked long enough. I'm going to dip my spoon in and just pull out a couple kernels here. I just want to see how tender it is. Okay, it's getting there. It's almost, it's al dente. How can we can call it that? So I've taken the lid off of the pot of rice. And now what we're going to do is as it boils out, the rice is going to soak up some of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the heat is going to cause it to boil out. So the first part, what I call the 2 stages of cooking rice, the first part's pretty easy going. You just let the rice do its thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want to come back and you need to give it a little TLC after the 10 minutes is up to start cooking it down. So we're going to let that boil down just a little bit and we're going to pay attention to it. Let's come back over here to our steak fries, big old mess of steak fries. And it's crazy with that wedge cutter. I've done apples in it.
Mm-hmm.
I have done firm tomatoes in it. Those were great. Some Roma tomatoes. I cut the top out, you know, where it grows on the vine. Oh, can you hear how crunchy those sound?
Oh my gosh. I am ready for my potatoes. Do I have to wait a few more minutes?
Yeah, just a little bit more. It'll be all right. Got about 5 more minutes and then you're going to be rocking.
All right.
Ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, blue cheese. What do you want?
Yes.
Okay, one of each, please, sir. I knew I was in trouble, y'all. That's what I get for asking. Sit it there. All we got, yeah. Pepsi? No. Coke. No Pepsi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's starting to get the rice now. We're back here stirring the rice. It's starting to get thicker.
Hey.
You can just tell by stirring it. Before it was stirring, yeah, it's kind of like when you start making gravy. It's just stirred, wasn't thick at all. But something we're going to start doing, Cheryl, I'm going to start recording some little shorts of different things we do for lunch, different little tidbits that we can start putting on the show, too, for people.
Nice. I like
some ideas of how to have some snacks and have some fun, but make some stuff happen too.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll cook up a bunch of this rice and the pasta, put it in some Tupperware and just put it in the fridge. And then, you know, whatever we're doing, like if I make up maybe a beef stroganoff or something, or these little microwavable chicken packets, or they've Salisbury steak, or there's like sliced turkey, things like that with gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those are great to microwave and then just slide right over the top of some pasta.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Or over the top of this rice, you know? Or put some rice out there by itself. I'm in. Or if you're making maybe scrambled eggs, sprinkle a little rice in on top of it.
Oh, my grandfather loved, scrambled eggs over rice, and he, of course, would have to add in a little bit of pepper.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. I like that with a little bit of hot sauce on it. Yeah. Something about that, man. That's good stuff. Now, one of my first Thanksgivings down here, by myself after my folks had moved back to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I went with some friends to their place, and there was no mashed potatoes, which at Thanksgiving was just like, wow, what's that about? You know, but that's, you know, because my family was all Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of that, they had a big old huge bowl of rice. You know, they were Louisiana folk.
Oh, okay, okay.
So white rice replaced potatoes
mm-hmm.
on their Thanksgiving table. And it was, that's where I learned to eat rice and gravy, man. Oh,
delicious.
That stuff was awesome. All right, here are your potatoes.
All right.
I'm just going to let them cool here for a minute before I bring them in there. Actually, I hear the rice boiling, so that's where I'm going next. Oh, yeah, you can hear it boiling good now, huh?
Awesome.
And as it boils, the water reduces. The rice gets thicker and gets stickier.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of where you control what you like. Some people like rice a little wetter. Some like it drier and stickier. I'm kind of the sticky person.
Yeah.
But what you want to do is you just want to keep on stirring. Keep on letting it do its thing here.
Well, I would think also to add, and I've done this, to add a little flavoring to the rice. Instead of just cooking with straight up water, you could add in like a little vegetable broth or
chicken
broth.
I have done it before where I use all, my liquid is all chicken broth.
Yeah, yeah.
Or half and half, you know. Mm-hmm. A can of chicken broth and 2 cups of water, and then a cup and a half. And these were, when I put the 3 half cups of rice in, they weren't leveled. They were heaping. So, you know, it's probably a cup and, I don't know, maybe a cup and 3/4 of rice,
mm-hmm.
which the multiplier is a 4. So 4 cups of, 2 cups of rice is going to equivalent, you know, dry. Is going to come out to be about 4, 8 cups of cooked.
Oh, okay, yes.
That's what you usually figure, 4 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I use the microwave rice cooker or a rice cooker, you know, a machine, mm-hmm. I usually use less water than I do on the cooktop.
Okay.
Usually 2 to 1 for white rice, 2 parts water to 1 part rice.
Yes.
When I do brown rice, it's closer to 2.5 parts water to 1 cup of rice.
Yeah.
And the same with wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I'm stirring this around, it's getting thicker. I can still hear it. You can still feel. Now it feels like a big old pile of mush, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As before, it felt pretty soupy. So we're getting there. The water's cooking down. It won't be too much longer now. Woo-hoo-hoo. Just put a little salt in here. Something else you can do right now is you can add, you know, pepper and salt. You can add garlic powder, Mr. and Mrs. Dash, lemon powder, lemon zest. There's all types of things you can do to this rice to change its flavor.
Nice. Okay.
You know, like you were saying before, using different things, you could even add, right now as it's in these later stages, you could add some soy sauce to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even some teriyaki sauce. You know, maybe a couple teaspoons a couple tablespoons, and let it cook into the rice as you know, the liquids reduce. I'm just continuing, y'all, as we've been talking, I just continue to stir slowly, not real fast, just gently around the edge and then bring it to the middle. So I'll start like at 12 o'clock and come down to 6 o'clock and come up into the middle. Start at 6 and go to 3, start at 3 to 12. And at the end of the, when I get to that like halfway or a quarter of the way around, I always stir to the middle of the pot. That's one thing that as us visually impaired blind cooks, we need to remember to stir towards the center of the pot. And that way you'll have less, hopefully, kicking out on your cooktop and all over the place. Like that story I told the first time I made tacos. I ended up with muff meat for, I started with a pound of taco meat, man. I'm like, one taco, what the heck? And there was a lot of lettuce and tomato in that taco. Not much meat. And I'm like, oh, Vato, where's the meat? It was all over the countertop, man. I mean, all over the cooktop. I stirred it all out of the... That's when I was like, oh, gently stir. And always exactly. Back to the middle.
Yeah.
Gently. All right. Man, it's just bubbling along.
Oh, I can hear that. It's definitely like low liquid because it's sort of popping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's low in the, you can feel it, it's low in the skillet, mm-hmm. or low in the pot, I mean. It's not, like I said, it's still kind of mushy feeling as far as it, when I stir it with a spoon, it feels like, but it is getting firmer, and definitely we're cooking the water out of it. And again, temperature-wise, I'm back up to probably medium high to high with this burner, just so we can help speed up the process here. Now, when your rice is done, again, you've got to, I mean, you can go so many ways here. How about adding a can of broccoli cheese soup to it, mixing all that up? Or, you know, Skylar being on the show last week, Skylar rice was once we got to this stage, then we'd add a can of cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, to, nice.
And we would okay. make Skylar rice. Or you can just add blue cheese, crumbled blue cheese to it. You can add cheddar cheese. You can add tomatoes, carrots. We've added summer squash that we roasted
mm-hmm.
and then mixed it in with the rice, cubed it up. Or one of my favorites, too, is a can of Rotel tomatoes.
Oh, nice.
Drain the tomatoes okay. and just mix those in with, you know, your serving of rice. Oh, mm-hmm. It adds a lot. It adds just a beautiful little touch to it. Now it sounds like a car running barely on gasoline. We're almost out of gas. And again, just keep – what I wanted to show is if you cook it down too much to where it's too dry, it's starting to stick to the bottom of the pan, all you have to do is add a little more water. And then let it – you'll get back to this stage where we're at here, where it's flopping and bubbling. And then when it cooks down again, because it can happen, it can sneak up on you. Sometimes it'll be boiling away for your 10 minutes. You'll go over to it and like, oh, you open it up and man, where'd all the water go? You know, because you don't hear anything boiling. You don't hear any of the popping or the sloshing.
Right.
And that's when that's when you just add more water. So it's pretty forgiving to cook. But it does take attention. You do have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're good there. Now, what we'll do, I'm just going to let this sit and cool for a bit while we turn our attention back over to your steak fries that are done. I will get those on a plate. Let's take a little break right here, y'all. And we will be right back on Cooking in the Dark. Hey, y'all, do what I did. Contact Ultimate Tech Mods at blindmicemegamall.com and upgrade the internal memory of your Victor Stream. I've got so much memory now, podcasts, magazines, books, radio stations. I don't have enough time in the day to get to all of them. That's Ultimate Tech Mods. Increase the memory of your Victor Reader Stream today.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell. And Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all. I'm sorry. You caught me reaching for a bowl with the lid because the next thing I'm fixing to make is, I love this time of year, summertime, Cheryl. We're talking about that. Veggies, stuff. So in front of me here, I've got a whole bunch of fresh cilantro.
Yeah.
Big old bunch of it. I've got these two big, gorgeous jalapenos that were all of 4 cents a piece at the grocery store.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
I mean, it's just like, oh. And then I've got these three beautiful vine-grown tomatoes. What could we be making with all this stuff? You got an idea?
I might guess. Cause...
I'm using my pepper core here to core out this jalapeno real fast. I just took out the stem. Just push it in and twist it. And there we go. Takes out all the, takes out some of the membrane, not all of it, and the seeds. And I'll rinse it out here and get all the seeds out of this one too. I was playing with the other one before we came back from break just because I love these little gadgets. I love tools. We've got three garden vine tomatoes. I think this thing will work with that. So you put that right on the edge of your stem. There we go. I just did it with a tomato, too.
Oh,
works
okay.
On a tomato.
Wow.
Pepper cores. Push it straight in right on the edge of where the stem, you know, was at. Doink. Cores it. Cuts that out. Gets some of the seeds and stuff out. Because seeds and tomatoes are actually, I didn't learn this until later, but they're kind of bitter.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
So that's why they get them out. Same as like with a spaghetti squash, although much bigger. But that's why you cut a spaghetti squash in half before you bake it or cook it. It's to remove the seeds. That's really the only reason. Because I've done it the other way, believe me, plenty of times. Because, man.
Do you mean just cook it whole?
Uh-huh. Bake it whole and then cut it open.
That. Okay.
So, I mean, you need a, what, a jackhammer, I don't know, a hydraulic.
Oh, to try to cut. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
My mom, you know. I have to thank her for this particular purchase. She went out one day and came home with this knife. I was like, what is that? It was quite a hefty, sturdy, butcher knife-looking thing. But it works well with squash.
We're going to be cutting some stuff, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, why don't you read them this quick recipe? This is such an easy, and this is such a summer thing.
Oh, my gosh, it is.
To have pico de gallo around the house. I mean, talking about that rice or that pasta earlier, this is a couple of this on it, or, you know, eggs, doing some scrambled eggs with rice or with these with some pico de gallo on it.
Yeah, and I'll read the recipe, and then I'll say something that I would substitute for the cilantro, just in case somebody doesn't like cilantro. I eat.
Get out of here. Who doesn't like cilantro?
I know. But you got, you know, there's some people that are like, cilantro.
I'm so embarrassed for them.
Yeah. I've made like I think a really great substitution. But anyway, hold on. Here we go. All right. We need 3 tablespoons fresh lime juice, 3 cups diced tomatoes, 2 jalapenos, diced, temperature adjusted. 1/2 cup of finely diced onions. And 1/4 cup of cilantro, chopped. And that's all you need.
That's it.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I've taken these tomatoes, I've sliced them in half. I've laid it down face down, you know, the slice face down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm slicing it again, long ways down the tomato. Now I've just turned it, and lightly holding it between my thumb and middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of squeezing the tomato together and then slicing it. So we're cutting it in half and then in half.
Yep.
In half top to bottom, then coming back and cutting that down into slices. What I call a half, and then quartering it up. So here's another half here. So I've got it face down. I'm cutting that half right down the middle first, right in half. And then on the right side of that, I'm cutting 1, 2, 3 slices. Over here, 1, 2 slices. Then I'm turning it perpendicularly, and I'm cutting across the cuts I just made. And again, I'm trying to make about 1/4 inch cuts, 3/8 of an inch cuts or so.
Yeah, sort of like little bite-sized things that you're shooting
yeah,
for.
Yeah, chunky. I mean, we're talking chunky. We're not talking salsa.
Right.
you know, which is watery. We're just talking chunky.
All right, so I'm going to tell. So I have substituted, because Mr. Tim does not like cilantro, I've substituted basil.
Okay.
And it is delicious.
Basil's a good sub.
Yeah. So when I make this, I do everything except cilantro, and I put in basil, and oh my gosh, it's just as delicious.
Yes, yes. So. I mean, that basil or cilantro is just a little accent taste.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, cilantro's got kind of a peppery taste.
Mm-hmm. Except for the people who eat it and they say it tastes like soap.
Oh, yeah, now that's, yeah.
One of my coworkers, we were talking and she's like, oh, I want to like cilantro, but it just tastes like soap to me. So
oh.
I can't eat it. So I'm like, okay, we have to take that seriously. We can't.
So. Well, yeah, and that's so sad when, you know, like last night they broke out some shrimp and I'm like, oh.
Oh, no, right. Because of your health, you can't eat that anymore. Yeah. And I have to say, my mom, again, she was visiting and, oh my gosh, she took us to this place that sold lobster. And it was delicious.
Nice.
She got us, they had these lobster sandwiches. The bread was like amazing. And then it was just like lobster with like a little bit of mayo, but it was, you know, 99.9% lobster.
Don't take away the taste of the lobster.
No, it was so good. Took me and it looks like a small sandwich, and I'm like, I can do it. And then I ate, and I'm like, oh, maybe not.
A little bit more there than you thought, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm turning to the jalapeno here now. I've got the tomatoes sliced up. And what I'm doing with the jalapeno, I'm basically just julienne cutting it. I'm cutting it in strips long ways.
Okay.
Again, we want a little smaller dice on the jalapeno. And when I talk that quarter inch or smaller dice, because the jalapeno is there for accent, not to take your breath away.
Right. And since you've cored it, and now what would I do if I didn't have a core? How do I, like, not?
Cut it open. What I would do is slice it open.
Okay.
And then I would, you know, slice it in half long ways, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would take a spoon and just lightly scrape the inside membrane. The more you scrape the membrane out, the more heat you're going to remove.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take the seeds out. If you want a jalapeno at its hottest, then leave the seeds in, leave the stem in, you know, leave the membrane. Just cut it up.
I've learned that, yes.
But if you want it cooler, or you might even try a different pepper. You know, a poblano pepper is a little cooler. It's going to give it a little different flavor.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, what a lot of times I'll do is when I do a jalapeno, I'll do one whole jalapeno
mm-hmm.
in something. And then the second jalapeno, I will scrape, you know, cut the membranes down.
Okay, yeah.
Now, when I do stuffed jalapenos, like the stuff with cream cheese or, you know, shrimp or wrap with bacon or any of that, I will scrape those also so they're not too hot because you don't want it to overpower the taste of everything else.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
With this, we want a little bit of flavor from the jalapeno, but we do want the bite too.
Right.
That's what makes this dish so fun. I'm just kind of feeling through my dice here of the pepper real fast and any big pieces. When I say big pieces, there was a sliver that was about an inch long and a quarter inch wide. I just cut him down a couple times. Because, again, you want a little heat, but you don't want to be overpowering with this. All right. Let me take my plastic chopping mat here and do the trick that we all love. Fold it in half, put it right in our bowl. There we go.
I don't know why I used to think this was like a super complicated dish, like making guacamole. And then finally I looked and I'm like, oh, hold on, we can do this.
Not much to it. Now the onion, I'm going to cut off a slice. I'm going to try to slice this about a quarter inch wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not too bad. One slice, two slices.
And this is always, I mean, summer is the best time to do this because you've got tomatoes at like the peak, you know?
Yes.
And it is so delicious and it's so refreshing just to make up this salsa or pico de gallo, whatever you call it.
The other day I made scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then just before they were done, I mean, I tossed in a diced up tomato and some onion that I diced up, you know, so that it cooked just a little bit, but the vegetables were still fresh and so robust.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't overcooked. I mean, that's something I learned going to down, you know, eating down at St. Croix when we'd have breakfast and we'd have that omelet. That, you know, some places put the vegetables in when they drop the egg on the griddle, you know?
Right.
And it cooks the vegetables up to where you don't really get the flavor and the taste. But by putting them in late to where they may get a little bit of heat, but not really cook. They may warm up just a little bit. They might still be a little bit cold. That's fine too. So here I'm taking these onions and just kind of piling them up now. And I'm just running my knife through them, cutting them back down. So we won't get little pieces. We just want little pieces, little dices of these. And you can use a yellow onion. You know, white onion is a little more robust than a yellow onion. Red onion, you know, is a little more or less robust than that. Or if you want to go with a shallot, you can go that way. All right, so there's our onions. Okay, and last but not least is our cilantro. So let me peel some of this off.
Ah, I was going to ask you about the cilantro. So do you cut up the stems too, or do you just put
off? What I do is right now I'm stripping off I pulled out one big stem set, and I just kind of stripped off, running from the stem up the plant, you know, towards the end of the branch, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I stripped off what I could there, and now I've got it kind of piled up here on my cutting board. So as I pick it up and I feel the stems, the bigger ones I'll pull out.
Okay.
The smaller ones get chopped up.
Okay, so this is, it's like there's a leaf and then there's always like a little stem that's stuck to like the main
Yeah,
branch.
And then there may be, and then that may be stuck to a stem that's stuck to the main stem.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it, like the little end stems usually get just chopped up.
Right.
The main stem and then any subsequent support stems, you know, off the main stem that goes to another stem where there's leaves.
Mm-hmm. All right. So but basically you're not chopping up the whole thing.
No, I'm not chopping up the stems. What I'm doing is kind of just pulling them apart and just kind of like there's one that'll get out of there. There was a little junction there, a little fork. Just peeling off a little bit more. Like I said, I love cilantro.
Right.
Now, we've got some little kitchen shears, and I didn't even think about them now because, I mean, we're just not doing that as much with this. If I were doing a whole bunch of this, I would have used them. But these kitchen shears, they have a little notch in them that you can run the stem through, pull the stem through, and it'll shave off all the leaves, which makes this part of the task a little bit easier. Get rid of that stem. Okay, we're good there. Good there. Okay. I'm just going to chop up this cilantro pretty quickly. All right. Throw that in the bowl. Cool. Mix this all around here. I should have a chip out here waiting to go, but I don't.
I was just going to say, what are you serving this with? Some type of chips or crackers? Or?
No, we'll be doing chips for sure. Now I'm going to take the lemon juice. I'm sorry, the lime juice, excuse me. We're just going to splash that over the top. And then just mix it all up. Take a little sample. Man, that is excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right, y'all. So we talked a little bit about today, different things. We're going to take five. We're going to come back. Well, not even five. We'll be back maybe 2 and 2, 1 and 1. Oh, no, but we'll be back on the other side with Cooking in the Dark. Do not go anywhere. I want to tell you about the Danny Boy Stand. Some of y'all have heard about it, others haven't. But it's a stand created by who? Dan. Danny Boy. He got fed up with all the stands to hold your iPhone, you know, stationary while you try to read a document, you know, using Q&R Speak or Seeing AI or any of those things. I use Seeing AI and, man, try to don't breathe or cough when you're trying to scan something. Oh, it's a mess. Now I just set my phone in the top of my Danny Boy, slide my document underneath it, and there it is. It reads it right away. Check it out at DannyBoyStand.com. That's DannyBoyStand.com. Or you can also see it at BlindMiceMegamall.com. The Danny Boy Stand. You need it.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
Okay, welcome back to more Cooking in the Dark.
Excellent, y'all. So we talked about getting some stuff prepped and pre-made to help ease up some strains. Rice, you can do anything with rice. Hell, you can open a can of chili, heat it up, throw your rice in a bowl, and the heated up chili over the top of that. Look at that. Chili con ricey.
Oh, my God.
So many fun things. Add some broccoli, add a can of cream of cheddar cheese soup to it. So many things you can do. So many things. Pasta the same way. Just heat it up, serve it cold, add a little mayo and tuna to it. All of a sudden, you've got a little tuna salad, pasta dish, so many things. But sometimes the hardest part is just getting the time to cook all the other side stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. You've got other stuff ready to go. We keep chicken pre-cooked. We're going to be cooking up some pork chops. Just having foods that are quick and easy, so if we're in a pinch and we don't have time to fix dinner, right, you don't have to worry about it. You can throw something together pretty quick. And then that brings us to the pico de gallo. Man. Why don't you read us that recipe real quick, Cheryl? It's so complicated.
All right, here we go. 3 tablespoons fresh lime juice, 3 cups diced tomatoes, 2 jalapenos diced, 1/2 cup of finely diced onions, 1/4 cup of chopped cilantro, or cilantro chopped.
Not to be confused with chopped cilantro.
I know.
But that's it. Dice up your tomatoes. I mean, if you want to put another tomato in, put another tomato in. You want to add a jalapeno, add a jalapeno. You want your hot jalapenos hot, don't just cut off the top stem and throw them in there. You know, if you can't do jalapeno, do another pepper. Or there's all types of salsa. Do a mango instead of a tomato. Mango salsa is kind of cool because it adds a cucumber, which is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all types of good stuff, and summertime food is everywhere, y'all. Get after it. Hey, before we go, air fryer people, have you tried a yellow squash in the air fryer? Chop it up into like 3/4 inch big chunks, thick chunks, and spritz it with a little vegetable oil, vegetable spray, olive oil. And I do air fry them at, I do 350 for 5 minutes. To start off, then I flip them around, swoosh them around a little bit, stir them around, and then I kick it down to 325 for another 5 minutes. And they come out, to my liking, delicious. Just saying. Fresh veggies.
That's it. 10 minutes.
They're everywhere. Get some before they get away because it's July. It's almost August. Golly. Yeah. August. All right, y'all. She's Cheryl Cummings. I'm Dale Campbell. For the magic man, Tim Cummings, we're cooking in the dark, and we're out. AMF.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you.
This is Bird Note. Location, location, location. Location is just as important in birding as in real estate. But unlike real estate, where the prime location has a panoramic view or great ambiance, birding is often best in the most unlikely places. For instance, sewage treatment plants are great places to look for birds. Watch for gulls, ducks, and the ever-vigilant raptors keeping watch nearby. Another place might be your local landfill or dump. From Alaska to southern Texas, dumps are often great places to find good birds. The Juneau, Alaska landfill is famous for its gathering of gulls, and you used to be able to find lots of ravens, too. And at the southern tip of the country, the Brownsville, Texas dump was, for years, the only place in the U.S. you could find a Tamaulipas crow. For a more sedate birding adventure, visit a cemetery. Especially in rural areas and in the Midwest, cemeteries are often repositories of native plants, remnants of the native habitats of the 19th century. They're magnets for migratory birds, which find food and cover in those green oases. They're quiet, too. Just remember, birds are where you find them.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Everyday, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is A Summing Up by Charles Mackay. I have lived and I have loved. I have waked and I have slept. I have sung and I have danced. I have smiled and I have wept. I have won and wasted treasure. I have had my fill of pleasure. And all these things were weariness, and some of them were dreariness. And all these things, but two things, were emptiness and pain. And love, it was the best of them. And sleep, worth all the rest of them. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Everyday, sponsored by Audio Journal, and read by me, Nikki Whichelow. Thanks for listening. May your life be filled with poetic wonder.
What's your vision? People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/mcb to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/mcb.
What's your vision?